Good evening, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Monday, the 16th of September, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. We're here with our regular Monday co-host, fellow RBN host, Paul Edward Stevenson, broadcasting live from the UK. And, well, I mean, I do have some further details coming out, you know, related to some of these topics. We haven't really brought up Israel much at all so far, though, Paul. And it has been a while, but I mean, it seems so stale. This, as atrocious as it is, you know, the slow genocide they're conducting in Gaza. I mean, I hear they've started in the West Bank a bit more notably. And I did hear a report earlier of some, implied threat to Netanyahu's son, you know, where he could be like at risk of assassination or something, allegedly, and then Netanyahu was notably distressed looked a bit worried. So I don't know if you heard about this at all.
I haven't, but he shouldn't be surprised. He shouldn't be surprised. You know, the guy's a complete troublemaker. He's brought about a lot of death and destruction. He's a security risk to the whole region. He's, you know, been responsible and involved in the killings of Raisi, I believe, in Iran. I don't think that was an accident. Ismail Haniyeh, while he was being accommodated by the Iranians, which they still haven't responded to. So, and of course, a lot of the Hezbollah leaders. And so, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm surprised that there hasn't been those sorts of attacks on the likes of Smotrich or Ben-Gavir or Netanyahu, because there are no such rules of engagement, if you like, from the Israelis to the Iranians or, you know, the Hezbollah or anything else. So it must be maybe they've got higher principles, or maybe they just can't reach them. So that doesn't surprise me. I think whenever, I don't know what it's like over there, but I think when you don't get so much news over here about Israel, and then you do sort of dig a little bit for news on Israel, it's because things aren't going so well for Israel. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to put anything out which is going to be, you know, the Zionists don't want to be having any media going out or information leaking in, or not even leaking, but being, you know, fed through the Western media if it shows them to be vulnerable, you know.
Yeah, they certainly don't want any bad press circulating if they can have any.
Well, they're always getting it. Yeah, they're in more trouble with what's happening with Hezbollah, and they're in more trouble with what's happening with the Houthis than we ever hear about, you know. The Israelis like to sort of, you know, communicate when they're really strong and they're in control of everything, but also at the same time victims, of course. But I don't think, from what I look at on some sources outside of Western media, that things are going too well. They tend to suppress the extent of the damage and losses, for example, to the IDF and Hezbollah attacks and also the Houthis. They can't control the Houthis. You know, they're not able to deal with them. They've tried, including American and UK joint bombing campaigns. And the Houthis are still, you know, sending missiles, you know, left, right, and center, you know. So, it's just very difficult to know what's going on over there as well, you know. And in a similar way as to, it's difficult to know exactly what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, with that situation. You can only do your best with, you know, sources, but it's very hard to really know, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And the other comment I was making about Putin, we've been hearing about that, about Netanyahu's position for quite a while as well. As much as, I mean, you know, he bears the grunt, even partially on a personal level, of blame for the actions of Israel. And we all hate Israel, and we hate, you know, Netanyahu as a representative. But, I mean, a lot more of the he would appreciate, it seems, a lot more belief that he'd be a hardcore wartime leader. And the way he's been, to both in Gaza and to these neighboring conflicts recently, has been very important for him to present that. Because, yeah, from what I understand, there are, you know, at least quite a few factions that would want to be, you know, very militant if they were to be his replacement, you know, so quite a few would be quite hardline types. And I think a lot of the public have been conditioned over many decades, you know, to have such a fear that everyone wants to kill Jews, especially Israelis, and all this, and that we, you know, we do nothing wrong, to want that hardcore military aggressive not really passive aggressive, but I mean, to offensively initiate or defensively claim to initiate, you know.
I'm surprised that the Israelis have not been promoting the propaganda that this guy who attempted his assassination on Trump was working for the Iranians. Maybe we'll still see that type of narrative emerge.
But no, I mean, there are, you know, quite a few who are, not convinced, you know, that Netanyahu could be a good wartime leader. And so, you know, he's doing everything he can to be a... Yeah. I mean, the same way. I mean, you know, some potential replacements for him, if he were to be replaced down the line by whatever means, could be more hardliners in the aggressive military sense, just like we hear of Putin. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. But yeah. Netanyahu's very unpopular in Israel, so, you know, for reasons.
Well, he's very selfish, self-involved with all his actions. It's all for a... his family as well.
And you know, I think a lot of Israelis recognize that, you know, he has not cared one little bit about the hostages. He's just been trying to hold on to power.
Yeah, he'll be up on some serious charges once he's out of suspended. So and so Zelensky seems to be following in his footsteps, because I mean, you know, he's no longer an elected leader. He's kind of just a rogue leader for Ukraine. So it's like, you know, doing the BB, right?
No, Zelensky. No, exactly. Or BB's doing a Zelensky. It's hard to know which.
Yeah, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, clearly Zelensky's the chicken. But anyhow. But no, it is interesting how, like, I mean, we hear they've done a lot of damage to their numbers. Equipment, inventory, everything. This Kursk thing was not at all successful in any way. And so...
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, that was just a PR stunt, like, you know, for the most part.
But I mean, it's again, they'll be propped up by NATO, though. You know, no matter how much they're completely out of the supplies and even soldiers, possibly indefinitely, as long as they can manage. You know, as long as the West is has most
well,
influence.
And they you know, vastly sacrificed some of their best soldiers and, you know, technicians and expertise for that absurd incursion for territory in the Donbass. You know, the Russians have been, you know, if you believe certain sources anyway, the Russians have been advancing much more quickly now in that region, taking much more territory in a, you know, much more quickly. So it's just a PR stunt to keep this whole thing going as long as possible. I think from the American point of view, it is designed to keep it going as long as possible till after the election, and then we'll see. From Zelensky's point of view, I think he wants to just keep it going as long as possible and get as wealthy as possible on as many corpses, Ukrainian corpses, as he possibly can. And, you know, completely annihilate and, you know, suck the country dry and sell it to the highest bidder, what's left of it. So,
yeah, I mean, there has been a lot of money laundering going on. Some has actually been recycled into the Democratic election campaigns here in the U.S., but, you know, but anywhere and everywhere, I mean, there's been a huge amount of money laundering. And
just
I'm sure
a revolving door in it.
Right, right. Zelensky already is multi-million-dollar mansion in Florida that his parents are living at. So, I mean, he has a nest egg significantly ready for him as is.
Yeah, and the annoying thing is, you know, when this is all over, he'll be living somewhere in the West, and then there'll probably be a movie made about him. He'll write a book. He'll be everywhere talking about it. And,
yeah, oh, yeah, he'll be hanging out with Sam Bankman-Fried. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, you hear talk about some people talking about, you know, eventually, you know, he's going to end up being killed by the Russians or whatever else. That's not going to happen. We'll have to see this reprobate in our lives probably for the next 30 years in one form or another. I mean, it's a real shame to have like absolute crooks like that who, like I said, masquerading as some sort of heroic figure who caring about the, you know, Ukraine, and meanwhile participating in its destruction, and, you know, looking at probably half a million Ukrainians who have perished because of this whole thing. It's very, very evil. You know?
And I made that joke because, well, Sam Bankman-Fried seems to be getting off most of his charges and, you know, having like plea deals, living pretty comfortably in the meantime, as it is now. It seems like he's not going to wind up doing any time. I had this one from Substack on Erdogan. Erdogan proposed Islamic alliance against Israel is pure demagoguery. This Andrew Koribko is proposing in his piece. Turkish President Erdogan has attempted over the years to present himself as the voice of the international Muslim community, or UMMAH, most recently by calling for an Islamic alliance against Israel. His strong rhetoric about the latest Israeli-Hamas war has earned him the praise of many and also resulted in sharp responses from Israelis, which in turn feed into the perception that he's seeking to form. All his tough talk is just pure demagoguery, however, since he isn't willing to go to war with Israel. The Palestinians claim that over 40,000 of their own have been killed in this nearly year-long conflict that most of their supporters consider to be a genocide. Now, this seems very pro-Israel slanted, but anyway, continuing. The living conditions in Gaza are atrocious. Almost all of the strip has been damaged or destroyed by Israeli bombs, and Egypt continues to keep its border closed to prevent the outflow of refugees into its territory. By all indicators, it's more than a little late for anyone to suggest forming a multilateral alliance against Israel, whether they're really sincere or not. First and foremost, and with Erdogan, they're saying Erdogan is a very clever politician and therefore predictably has a few tricks up his sleeve for proposing this so belatedly. He wants to affirm Turkey's image, reaffirm as the historical protector, going back to the Ottoman days. That's why he's calling so loudly to form this Islamic alliance. But I don't know, an Islamic alliance might be just what Israel needs in the region, wouldn't you say? Well, I mean, I know you. I know you have very strong. Here we haven't had as much direct negative, interactions with Islamic types, Muslims, all this, and in Europe, UK, Australia, you've had a lot more. So I mean, I don't know.
Well, Erdogan's a slippery little snake, and he's all talk. I mean, it's a bit late for Gaza now. So if he wants to, get his little alliance going, he'd need to get on with it. Because they could have gotten together and prevented the situation.
Well, like a decade ago, he was very pro-West. Isn't that what you recall?
Well, it depends what day of the week it is. You know, he's pro-everything. he's like that region's version of Emmanuel Macron.
He's a wild card, but in a bad way, in a negative way. I mean, whereas Viktor Orban, in a very positive, constructive way, is a wild card.
Orban's a more principled man than Erdogan.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole history with the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish see themselves in their own.
That's all for Erdogan's domestic audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they see themselves as having future greatness to look forward to. I think they're people, and this is, I think, what's fed in their
Erdogan's he's an astute talker and a politician, but he's done nothing for the Palestinians or that against Israel.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just for his own self-interest, trying to...
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, there's a guy who's like talking... This sums Erdogan up. He'll talk about joining the EU and also joining BRICS and also joining NATO. And I talk about a guy hedging.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's always seemed shifty to me where he... But I mean, he just seemed like he would be of more benefit to... kosher pursuits than that of the goy.
I think he's just another slippery little politician, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he's like a mercenary. He's not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, no loyalty to any faction. And what else? It's still a tough push over here as far as the attempt to have this green transition, with our vehicles, especially in the trucking, these big semi trucks. EV semi prices would need to fall like 30 to 50%, they're saying, over here in the U.S. to compete with diesel. Just prices for, just the lifetime of the vehicle, according to these studies. So, I mean, there's still these things are so inefficient, not to mention all the science against CO2 and methane is a lie. But, I know the end goal is for most people to not really be driving anymore. And so they're not trying to make things too affordable. I don't know. It's just I just am exhausted. I even wanted to discuss that issue. We have a lot more tariffs against China over here now. U.S. confirms steep China tariff hikes, including 100% on the electric vehicles from China, effective September 27th, to protect domestic industries. Of course, we don't manufacture anything, and we're not willing to pay workers what we have for minimum wages here. I'd say, with the mass production of electronics, has become spoiled on, you know, ultra cheap Asian labor, right, Paul?
Yeah, no, exactly.
And I don't see how, you know, we'd be manufacturing that at any point. It's just the nature of, and I mean, people talk about that's why, you know, that they need the balance of capitalism and communism in different parts of the world simultaneously to keep things churning. So a transition from that to something else, I don't know really.
That's why you know, you would vote for Trump if he came in and changed direction on that type of those types of policies. But he probably won't. You know what I mean? It's like he might say certain things, but ultimately, you know, that agenda will continue as well. Sadly, you know, so it's a deindustrialization that's happening in Germany as well, particularly, which will have huge effects on Europe as well. You know, and it's the same here. We don't produce anything.
Yeah, I heard Volkswagen is having trouble surviving at this point. And then old Germany's being hit with all of the non-white immigration, just like everyone else. And I don't know if they have like DEI hiring for Volkswagen and all the rest of it or what. But I mean, it's been propping up financially. I know some other EU countries just making it, you know, just as poor, frankly, evenly. I mean, it's kind of a socialist plan in general, the EU, and it doesn't really do what it doesn't give the benefits I think it was sold on. And of course, it has so much of a parasitic nature. But I mean, you know, that's the plan, I think, the world over with these people, where they continue to have their way.
That is the plan, but you know, I don't think the European Union will last. I don't think it's going to happen immediately. But there's too much tension and there's too many problems in Germany now because we've left the European Union, and Germany has too many problems. And you know, I think the cracks have already, you know, appeared, and I think it's only a matter of time before the European Union will disband. And people probably think that's a crazy idea if you're in Europe now, but the European Union is very much, you know, in the Soviet model in many ways. It's authoritarian. Like you said, it's largely got a socialist, you know, huge socialist element to it. And
its economic system, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's bureaucratic. And it dictates to everybody. So if you don't like it, then, you know, if you don't want to open your borders to, you know, to millions of Africans and Arabs, well, then you get threatened by, you know, loss of funding in this direction and loss of funding in that direction. So these countries that want to, you know, it's kind of ironic and laughable when you get all these Baltic states, you know, who really, like even Ukraine, they really want to join the European Union. it's like, what do they think they're joining? You know, they're making a deal with the devil, you know?
And in some ways, I mean, the more I look at things and hear the research of those who've been digging deep regarding the founding of the United States, I mean, it does seem like in a certain sense, the federal government, you know, the United States of America, federal government, and that hold over the individual 50 states, which, I mean, you know, is kind of like a precursor to the EU. I mean, really, I mean, they would have been far better off maintaining a sovereign nation state status, as the, you know, the more I think of it. So,
well, I think that's what kind of maybe what the fathers had intended, but then you just had the federal government growing and growing and growing. So even this situation with Trump, for example, it's quite interesting how quickly that it became a federal matter, including, you know, whether, you know, the filing of charges became a federal matter rather than a matter for the individual state that this crime took place, you know. So it's like the EU bureaucracy coming in and saying, oh, we're taking control of this. I don't think we necessarily have that kind of federal police system that you guys have and the FBI, etc. But it's a similar thing. You're right. I mean, so you have these individual states, but then they have an overarching umbrella of control. And yeah, I mean, it's like seems to be just the pattern all the time, you know.
And then the United Nations is probably the most visible organization that wants, you know, the whole Agenda 21 push on all these topics. You know, we've been hearing over the radio ever since we've been involved or even listening to it, Paul. I mean, they're kind of the true face of evil, to be frank. And I'd love to see this list. Does anyone have this list, a list of, for each country, the UN with their alleged migrant quotas, these illegal alien quotas they have, because I can't imagine it's the same amount of people for every country. It's they must take multiple factors into account and choose a unique number for the year, you know, for or each year or whatever, you know, for each member state, so-called member state. With but you know, I hear that this is something that the U.S. is part of too. I mean, so we have a quota. So, you know, no matter what, with the Trump and his border wall when he was in the first time and everything, I mean, this was already still a thing. You know, these and going back a decade, me hearing about, well, I remember first hearing about like how, what, Sweden was having so many problems because they had that red ice that was reporting on so much of their nation in particular. I remember listening to quite a bit of red ice even before I was doing radio. And yeah, noticing gradually how, you know, this is something that's happening to all the European nations. And obviously I hear, and then of course the social engineering on everything, including the children. And so Sweden was definitely an early hotspot, you know, for a lot. But no, I mean, the weaponization of the immigration, it's like we're starting to have a lot of people wake up to that, you know, even so-called, what we call normies, to a lot of these agendas, you know, who otherwise never knew of them. But, I mean, certainly, well, I mean these quotas from the UN, you know, for each country, this is really the heart of the problem. You know, I mean, this has to be coming from B'nai B'rith and other, you know, international Jewish organizations who are enforcing this. The UN is kind of like a vessel for their ideals, you know, these think tanks, these elite Jewish think tanks.
Paul. Yeah, and NGOs. Yeah, NGOs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a whole system. It's a whole system that has been set up and constructed, you know, over the last century and out of the first two world wars where they consolidated power and erected these sort of these institutions and these constructs, which are now under threat from unrest, you know, among the people, but also organizations, you know, like BRICS and things like that that are emerging because of the U.S. dollar hegemony and you know, the bullying that's going on and the sanctions that's gone on for the last 60 years.
Well, they are all part. They are all countries that are not part of this Kalergi plan, BRICS.
This guy, Ryan.
But I hear the music. Here, hold that thought, sir. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, "It's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold." The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm an old sleeper. You raise my hopes, then you raise the odds. Tell me that I dream too much. Now I'm serving time in disillusionment.
I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you.
I don't believe you anymore.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey, Paul Edward Stevenson. Paul, you were just going to mention someone named Ryan in your point. Was that it?
Yeah, this guy, Ryan Ruth, who's a suspect in the attempted Trump assassination. Just reading some more on him. And from the Times of India, it said there would be assassins. Social media indicates that he voted for Trump in 2016. And he goes on to say he was disappointed and later wrote, he will be glad when he's gone, or he will be, in quote, will be glad when you're gone, referring to Trump. So it seems he was disappointed. And apparently he's also, he was very, he shared a lot of the COVID-19 conspiracies on his social media. There's a history of mental illness, and he's very anti-Israel. Maybe he called into the show. We kind of lost him on the Ukraine thing, though. But he had a post on, on his social media with a picture of Palestine with it said, quote, "I am unclear what part of Israel the Jews own based on this historic map. Judea, perhaps. It seems to me historically all been Palestinian land." I bet you one way or another, this is Israel will get involved in this some way. Ryan Wesley Ruff also appears to believe Jews have no right to the Holy Land. We would agree with him on most of these things, apparently. He said in December In December 23, Ruth shared an ancient map about Jesus' journeys.
Can we trust the source though? I mean, I think we're getting a lot of. I think I did already hear some claims that there are multiple narratives on the profile of this alleged shooter from.
Well, this is the thing. So who is this guy? I mean, and is there an angle here? Will this all be manipulated for one purpose or another? Or is this guy could be, he could be a CIA asset for all we know. Or maybe he's just a patsy. Who knows? I'm sure over the next few weeks we'll get information that'll shine some light on this, But in there already you've got the, I think you're going to see more emerge of Israel getting involved in this. Oh, he's anti-Israel. Maybe Iran. Maybe he's working for the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Well, again, so far we've heard this claim that he's been over in Ukraine training people. Working with the government and NATO, and that he's had training. I don't know. It's very curious how much we do have the Ukraine thing fitting into this, and a lot of sources are not even reporting on yesterday. Once again, as an assassination attempt incident, a lot of media sources are just referring to it as an incident where one woman was in danger from yesterday, and nothing about Trump having an assassination attempt in the reporting. It's very shameless, if assuming that it is on the level, but we're having a lot of people now, starting because, he's had within 2 months, two assassination attempts, 2 days off, and it would have been 2 months to the day. He survives both of them. I mean, it's just starting to seem like a feature film or comic, sort of just like superhero, like superhuman sort of, chain of events to occur. We heard on right 2 days before this happened to Trump on Friday, the 13th, Biden and Kamala are expected to launch World War III this weekend and authorize attacks deep in Russian territory. So, there were a lot of outlets hyping this escalation prior. And then we have this occurring. But it, of course, takes attention. All these things could be misdirection, fulfilling assets. As far as news overseas there, I heard Netherlands declares a state of emergency as illegal migration surge is enacting strict asylum policies and limiting applications. Certainly too little, too late, right? Over here, we're hearing teacher layoffs are rising across the country, but they're just indoctrination centers. This public education system and what they teach these days in particular is so... so off the reservation, it's ridiculous. But and then I don't know. I could go on with some related. We're hearing, a lot of the background of this shooter, and we have some callers on the line. Maybe they'll have some more updates on that. I've hardly had a chance to go over the info I have.
Well, I'm just actually getting up to speed with it myself a little bit, because as I say, we obviously the time difference. We only got news of it last night. I saw it at about 1 a.m., so it was about 24 hours ago. Apparently, he attended North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, relocated to Hawaii sometime around 2018. Has a criminal record. The North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections has records for Ruth going back to 2002. That year, he barricaded himself inside a business with a gun in Greensboro per the Fox 40 citing news and records. In 2003, he was sentenced for driving without a license, carrying a concealed weapon, and hit and run. Certainly a colorful character. The North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections. So I just said that. So, I'd love to know. We'll see. This is the type of guy that if what we're reading about him is true, would be kind of easy to frame. I don't think, by the way, when he was in Ukraine, he was over there working for the government. I think he was over there as a kind of a lone wolf kind of a guy. You know, he was over there like with a volunteer force, if you know what I mean. It wasn't an official government operation, if you know what I mean. He was over there sort of like stirring up, trying to garner support for, you know, independent sort of just citizens to go and fight for join the Ukrainians, as far as I understand it, you know.
Well, he was referring to himself as a military member during his time when he was over there in Ukraine.
And 2010, convicted of possessing stolen goods, given probation for all these charges, according to the DAC website. North Carolina's e-court system has records going back to 97 for charges such as no operator's license. Listen, this guy's a bit crazy. So, you know, if this stuff is true, you know, yeah. It's like... anyway, it'd be interesting to hear what followers have to say.
But I do see the word volunteer here as well, though. Ruth, a former construction worker who lives in Hawaii, according to FT News, is one of the thousands of foreigners who, after seeing news reports about the invasion, traveled into Ukraine in early 2022 to volunteer as fighters or medics. And yeah, this was that Zero Hedge I just sent you from Caroline Roofer to Ukraine. And yeah, such types,
you know, did exist, particularly at the start of the war. You had these people, you had some clowns from over here going over there, and you had them coming from New Zealand and Australia and all sorts of places.
Well, here, let's go to the calls. Let's see. First, we have Tom in Florida. Hey, Tom, good to hear from you, sir. Good evening. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, good day, Rich, and everybody. What's on my mind is this guy, Rob. I think he's a schmuck, actually, but they just had a thing when he went to court today that he said he's living on $3,000 a month. Now, how the hell is he living in Hawaii? And he said each one of his pickup trucks is only worth $1,000 a piece. And one of the trucks, I guess, is in Hawaii. They don't show the other truck. Here, this guy's living on $36,000 a year, he said. How are you living on $36,000 a year in Hawaii, Rich? What kind of nonsense is this? $36,000, and the guy is he's lying his ass off. And I know there's other people. How did he know Trump was going to be golfing at that time? I mean, this guy was a plant. Somebody planted this guy in there. And, like you say, he goes to Ukraine. You know how much an airline ticket from Hawaii to West Palm Beach is? Or to even Carolina? That's very expensive. And so where's this guy getting this money? He's bitching to the judge. He ain't got no money. He has no house. He owns no properties. He owns two trucks. He said each worth $1,000. That's a lie. To have a truck in Hawaii, just to get it over to Hawaii, it costs you $2,000 to $3,000.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at some of the posts on X and videos. Trump shooter Ryan Ruth was in YouTuber G. Dion's video recruiting for Ukraine. He's a Ukraine loyalist who posted on social media about his hatred for President Trump, and he was doing a lot of recruiting to supply soldiers to Kiev. Here's this other guy's post, Nick Sortor. Update, Ukraine loyalist and Trump shooter Ryan Ruth ran a website attempting to recruit Americans to fight in Ukraine. His website offered $1,200 per month for any American willing to go to Ukraine and worked in D.C. to send U.S. troops over. So I don't know who's paying that money. It's not him. So he had to be affiliated with CIA or something, Tom, right?
Rich, what does Thomas Crooks and this guy Ryan Ruth have in common, Wesley? He goes by the name Wessel. Wessel. What do they have in common? Actually, he's a weasel. He has in common. They both did commercials for BlackRock. They're both in BlackRock. Crooks and this guy are both in BlackRock commercials. You don't believe me? Look it up right now. You can see it.
This guy, too. That is very, very suspect. Paul?
They're both in BlackRock commercials.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, it's only this event is only about about 24 hours old. So I'm sure more information will emerge over the next few days, and we can start putting the pieces together as to what's going on here. You know,
Tom,
I don't believe he's married, Paul. I don't believe this guy's married. So this guy's a creep. He's a cretin, But you know, there's some deep nonsense going on here. And who had access to knowing when Donald Trump was teeing off at Trump International? You know, I still say I don't trust that Jared Kushner for nothing. I don't trust that schmuck. And why would Trump's daughter convert to Judaism when if she wanted to get married to this guy, he should have converted to Christianity? Because the mother of all the Trump kids is a Christian woman. The one that passed, the first wife of Trump was very Christian. Melania is a very Christian woman. She's altar Christian. And Barron Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Barron's been raised in a Christian faith, not in a Jewish faith. Mm. Barron, the long, tall son. So there's some diabolical nonsense going on here, Paul. And I tell you right now, I think that Kushner, I believe he's a Mossad agent. I don't trust that guy. He's a slime bag. And I'm ashamed of Trump's daughter. I don't believe that she would actually, I'm going to convert to marry a Jew. No, he should have converted to what you were when you were a young girl and become a young woman. And Donald Trump gave his blessing for his daughter to marry a Jew like that? No way, man. Ever since that guy's been in Trump's realm, Trump's been having problems. And that's why, if you notice, he's distanced this guy Kushner from his run this time. I haven't seen that guy Kushner on TV one time, that Jared Kushner. So this cabal, man. This is a big deep state nonsense cabal, communist Kamala. She's a cabalist. I mean, the whole thing. She's got Doug Emhoff is French kissing Jill Biden on the State of the Union address 2 years ago. Literally French kissing her in the mouth. Joe Biden hasn't had sex with Joe Biden in probably 20 years. So you know damn well that Jill Biden still got an inch and she's going for this Kamala Harris's husband or maybe even Hunter for all we know.
Huh?
We don't know. What kind of sex life is this Joe Biden got? That's another weird situation.
Wow, wow, they're all creepy.
I mean, they're all creepy, man. This is nonsense. But getting back to this assassination character, this Ryan Ruth, I have a feeling if you look at his background, you're going to find out he's a Jew.
Well, I just came up with this other, relocated this other article I had earlier. Would-be Trump assassin palled around with neo-Nazi Azov Brigade in Ukraine. I'd put in quotes neo-Nazi, like all these over there. I mean, I've got pictures of some of those guys praying at the Wailing Wall on leave. So, it's just they're not really
exactly.
They're not nothing like the National Socialists of World War II. But
he has
Afghan,
a bumper sticker.
Tom, this was like U.S.-trained Afghan soldiers he was recruiting for Ukraine. So he must have been, they're saying, what government agencies, were hooked up with him for him to be allowed to do this, okay? His campaigning on behalf of the Ukrainian military Foreign Legion were his efforts to recruit U.S.-trained Afghan special soldiers to go to Ukraine's front lines. The initiative appeared so large in scale, given Roth was seeking to transfer hundreds or even thousands of Afghan fighters, according to his words, that one commentator questions in light of the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. Who was he working with in the U.S. government that was allowing him to do this? Okay, no, go ahead, Tom.
No, that's amazing information. I mean, I believe this guy's a deep state plant. I think, like I said, how did he knew Trump was even golfing at that time? Supposedly the news just broke that this guy sat outside of the golf course for 12 hours. For 12 hours, this guy's just waiting for Trump to show up on the golf course. This doesn't make just correlate. This is nonsense.
Paul, I just found what you were looking for. This last article I sent you here would be Trump assassin. Okay, here they're deeper in the article. Okay, they mention Iran. So there you go. The Times has documented that Ruth planned to move volunteers, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan and Iran to Ukraine. So there you go. Okay, they're already mentioning the word Iran, at least connected with this guy. So,
see,
yeah,
but he had a bumper sticker in Hawaii on his white pickup truck that had Biden Harris on there. So this guy's a big demon rat. I mean, but I don't know what's going to happen with this Rich. I mean, the whole thing is a giant utter cluster mutt cluster, whatever you want to call it, fart. And this is all nonsense. The whole country's all it's like a Kabbalah circus. I mean,
a fluster.
I don't know how to put it.
It's a fluster cluck. Thank you, Tom. Mary, I have a couple other callers, but I want to.
You got it, man.
Thank you. I always love your input. Hey, we have Joe in Florida, and then we have Bruce in the Carolinas. Joe in Florida, welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, Richard. Hey, Paul. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so you think you guys are right on the right track here. Well, for instance, this guy Ruth, or his comments anti-Israel, you know, basically if you're in the left-wing Democrat Party, everybody is you know, anti-genocide, rightfully so, right? So, but the evidence about his Ukraine connections are overwhelming. Look, these are not volunteers, right? I mean, you know that. What's this description of him as a volunteer? He's a mercenary. He's probably getting a direct check from George Soros or the CIA/Mossad. Okay. So there's nothing like individual, like you pointed out. How does somebody run a website offering to pay the expenses of people to send them to Ukraine to fight? I mean, what is he? Give us a break. So he's obviously connected with this whole cabal. The history, and thanks, by the way, Richard, I appreciate you giving the shout-out that I mentioned earlier when I called in Fetzer today. So we want to remember that in May, there was an assassination attempt on the Slovakian Prime Minister, Robert Fico. It was a crazed, like, ginned-up activist in that country who shot five shots, almost killed Robert Fico, okay? Then in June, and yes, it was 2 days after President Trump's meeting with the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban in Mar-a-Lago, where, by the way, Orban had just flown directly from Russia. He met with Zelensky, then he flew to Russia and met with Putin. I'm talking about Orban. And then he flew directly to Mar-a-Lago, and he tweeted out that Donald Trump is ready to put in place this plan, peace plan. 2 days later, oh, how convenient. It's just a coincidence that somebody tried to blow Donald Trump's head off 2 days later, okay? Now we have an interesting, what happened last week? It's good context. Last week, I'm making the argument, it was the first week it became apparent that the Ukraine farce of going into Kursk is a total bust. It wasn't clear up until last week, you know. I believe their plan was to go into Kursk and take over the nuclear power plant and then plant some kind of a false flag against Russia. Well, you know, by last week, I think I heard something like 13,000 Ukrainians have died just in the Kursk battle. It's a total debacle, right? And Russia's obviously got the upper hand. What better time for them? Because they're getting desperate. Now they have to try. They can see that Trump is their big threat. So, yeah, the guy, Ruth, he's obviously one of these Democrat deranged people, but he's working for Ukrainians. I'd be surprised if he's not getting the check directly from George Soros. Or how about this? Kolomoisky. These Jews that are funding this Jewish war against Russia will stop at nothing. And this guy is just a perfect example of that kind of psychopath.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing a lot of references to CIA. So, I mean, it may have been a CIA cutting his checks, Joe.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, see that.
It's even possible a guy like that, you know, he's just a complete useful idiot. He's got, like, maybe, you know, he's just a bit crazy. And they basically groom a guy like that. And he doesn't even know that he's working for the deep state or the CIA. And, you know, they're kind of just sort of coaxing him along.
Well, if this new information is true about him grooming U.S. well, setting up U.S. trained Afghan soldiers, you know, and you know, getting them over there. I mean, I it sounds like he at some point. You know, as an asset. Well, no, thank you, Joe. I want to hear what.
Let me just say, so something is funding this guy, right? He's obviously somebody who drank the Kool-Aid. But the real thing I want to say is look at the pattern. These psychopaths are trying to kill people. They're trying to kill the Prime Minister of Slovakia. They're trying to kill Trump. That's why this guy, Ruth, is very connected to that Ukraine terrorist organization, which is running the country right now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And I'll try to go over more of some of these other pieces on him later in the week. U.S. accuses Russia of helping Iran achieve a nuke. Netanyahu set to fire defense chief as Israel mulls war in Lebanon. And Biden says Secret Service needs more help after second Trump assassination attempt. No jokes. That's the first we hear from him in how long. Bruce in the Carolinas. Bruce, what's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, Richard, that story about this attempt for assassination for Trump, I don't think I'd believe any of that story, to tell you the truth. Fox News came out with the fact that one of the security people saw a barrel of a rifle sticking out of a fence and at 300 to 500 yards. Well, you know, first of all, you can't recognize a human being at that distance. And second of all, they said that the security fired four shots. What are you going to do with a 9mm or 10mm semi-auto Glock? It probably won't go 100 feet. So that whole story just is just messy. It's just full of mush. I don't think I'd believe any of it.
I think I'm sort of leaning towards that as well. So what do we actually even know about this, about how any of this actually went down? I mean, this guy apparently had an AK-47. I mean, I don't know that much about weaponry. But I know an AK-47 is not what you're going to try and sort of assassinate someone from a fair old distance. I mean,
it's only good for about 200 feet accurately, and that's it. And they said he had a scope on there. See, all that's pretend. You don't put a scope on an AK-47. So I just kind of questioning it. Every time they mention the word Iran, I say, yeah, this is full of nonsense. That's what they want in the first place. They wanted all lights to be turned on to Iran, and that's been the whole purpose of this October 7th invasion that Netanyahu has allowed to happen. He needs to be arrested. He's already had his day in court. He needs to be put in front of a firing squad along with the Security Council and every member of the Knesset. Every damn one of them needs to be put in front of a firing squad. They have caused nothing but problems, okay? Now, here's a personal issue to Tom down in Florida. Is this the end of it, Richard?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Tom, watch out. All the Trump females are all Jewish. They don't have to do any conversions at all. They're already born Jews, okay? We've had a Jewish-born president ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Every single one of them been born from Mother Jew, okay? So if you're born from Mother Jew, you're considered Jewish always, always, always. So don't ever forget that.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, I look forward to doing this again soon. All right, folks, please support RBN. And until next time, transcend the construct. Regards.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempace by MyNutra. Why is Hempace better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempace. Hempace contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.